Good morning, Patriots. So we have Tuesday, July 13th. Incredible. Man, the month is already flying by. Right up top of the hour, Bards Fest tickets are now on sale for both venues, indoor arena, outdoor arena. We had a couple updates last night on the website, more coming tonight, which will help clarify things. So remember, you go to bardsfm.com/BardsFest. Or just bardsfm.com. There's a big visual button on the page you can click that says Bards Fest. Or you can go to bardsfm.com and click on the little tab that says Bards Fest. Either way, all roads lead one place, Bards Fest. That's right, Bards Fest. And what are you going to do at Bards Fest? You are going to be dancing around and celebrating, having a great time. You're going to be celebrating God. It's going to be fantastic, quite frankly. Incredible. Amazing. So you want to get your tickets, indoor arena, outdoor arena, two venues, one mission, same time, same location, St. Charles, Missouri. It is a celebration of God right out of the top, right off the gate, and it is beautiful. Everything God first. Love of God, love of Christ in our lives with some amazing speakers and amazing entertainment. So get on over there, check it out, bardsfest.com. No, not yet, bardsfm.com. And get your tickets for Bards Fest. MyPillow, nation's top company in the country. Literally a CEO that's waging war single-handedly against the deep state. Building a company, getting attacked on all sides. Continues to stand for God, liberty in this nation. Mike Lindell and his company, MyPillow, are just examples of exactly what we want as a type of company leadership in this nation, and they have great products, and because you're one of the great listeners here, and because we're all good Bards people, we have a Bards promo code, Bards, B-A-R-D-S, for great discounts. So get on over there to MyPillow, MyPillow.com. Get on over there to MyPillow.com. Use the Bards promo code, B-A-R-D-S. Enter Bards into the promo code section. If you want to speak to a real human being, because some people say, you know what, I just cannot deal with this internet thing. That's okay. Dial 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939. That's what we call the Patriot Counseling number. Because for those of you that can't sleep, MyPillow has all the counseling you need. Just get on over there, grab a pillow, grab some sheets, grab some comforters, and just like that, you're going to be asleep. Wonderful. Okay, Patriots, so one quick other thing. There is not going to be a second show this morning. So just this show, no show at that follows this. Storm Dispatch will be postponed until tomorrow. Got some things to get ready for the trip to go to California on Thursday. And then on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, each day, actually for the 5 days coming, there's going to be an intermixing of live shows and just posted shows. Just be aware of that. I don't have an exact schedule yet, and I just don't have a exact, because I don't know my exact times. I'll live stream as much as I can. This show is pretty consistent, and the night show should be pretty consistent. But there's a couple other shows in there that may be pre-recorded, and being that if I put them up on YouTube, I'll probably get blown out of the water, so I probably won't do that because YouTube doesn't like me. So, anyway, just be aware of that programs are here. There'll be a little change in live chat. It's just a lot of travel going on, and that's going to happen more frequently each month. There's some other things happening. I want to start Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. At this point, we like to look at, I think it's worthy that we look at where we've come, where we are, but it's also important to look at where we came from. So much of what we've been experiencing and living through has brought us to this point because so many, I would say most of us, have gone astray. In this nation, it's an interesting nation in the history of the world, because God blessed this nation off with the right of the people to use their free will to determine who would govern them. And at the same time, that whole nation was put under the governance of God. That's moral law. So in the sense of moral law, God oversees all things because all people in that nation are accountable to God. And then the government is derived from the people by the people's choice and free will, and hence is accountable to the people. So in a simple sense, God oversees the kingdom, the people then decide their government. Since we're all accountable to God, God's children then are overseeing those in government. And government then becomes the act and the will of the people. And there's another critical piece here that requires that people remain engaged, that they are informed, that they are involved in the governance of the nation. And that takes many different forms, but it's essential that people understand their role. We have very much gone astray on that principle. And if you look at what has happened over the last particular, since 1960s, we've handed over the majority of our government to some very well organized, very evilly intentioned people. We know them as the left, but it's basically people who hate the idea of a free society, who at the core believe that their ideals are worth destroying millions to accomplish their aim. And they have slowly and very effectively taken over the mechanisms of communication, education, governance, legal, and corporate leadership. Add to that as well Hollywood entertainment and music. And while that plan actually was probably instituted back around 1910 or so, maybe 1905, the full force of that infestation and invasion, infiltration, occurred since the 1960s with the Culture Revolution. There were many people in that period of time, which we might call watchers, that were warning us of what was to come. Some were just people local in business. Others were national voices. And all of them, in the end, were ignored. We're here where we are because we didn't listen. It's something worthy of reflecting on, because where we are now, with the awakening we have and the crisis that we have, is going to require us to make changes in the direction in which we go. Matthew 10:16, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." We're now fighting from within, trying to take back that which we gave away. And that's a critical component to understand. It's easy to blame the other side, but it's more profound to accept the responsibility of why we are here. We didn't get here by accident. We didn't get here because some alien force parachuted from the stars. We got here because we went to sleep. And right on the forefront of those, in my personal opinion, is the greatest disaster of this were the ones that should never have gone to sleep. And that were those who had Christ in their heart. But we've taught ourselves through the churches, we've accepted this idea of a very passive faith. A faith that says that once you've accepted Christ in your heart, it's all done. Salvation is set. I'm saved no matter what. I can sit my butt in the pew, become a pew marshmallow. No matter what happens during the week, I can always get retuned up on Sundays. I just need to worry about my world. And if I get around to it, throw a few dollars to the church. We'll call that my tithe, and God will take care of me. I'll live a happy life, drive some nice trucks, work, have some difficult moments, but it'll always end well. And if I'm lucky, I might pay off my mortgage, do a bunch of fun stuff at the end of my life that is meaningless, but it's just important to me because I want to, I have a bucket list and I die. That is what we call a purposeless life. And it's amazing to me how many people have lived that goal for the sole purpose of retiring. For what is the question? For what? Because the last time I checked, God didn't say that there was a retirement package when you got born. What I do know is that when you were born and when you die, two things are constant. You're not, you don't enter with anything and you're not leaving with anything other than whatever experiences that you gain during this lifetime. And when we add to that walking in the body of Christ, and we see what that means, nowhere in there did it say you can walk in the body of Christ until you're 65. And if you're really good and you invest really well in the stock market, you might be able to get out of it as early as 50. But in the end, you're going to be good because you can retire and someone else will do it for you. And you can go have fun bouncing around the world or doing whatever you do. And you're safe, so don't worry about it. It's all good. Thank you for playing. Game over. These sorts of distortions are all part of the world in which we accepted. A world of inversion. A world that took Christ's word and flipped it on its head, and we accepted it. A world where churches preached various things, and their most important issue that they had going was the offering plate. That should in itself have riled many. We should have awakened to the principle that when the churches become, they give you full sermons on lecturing you about tithing in dollars, it should be something to step back and ask yourself what's going on. Instead of teaching the importance of tithing and what tithing looks like, for example, they lecture you about not putting enough money in the offering plate, or they guilt you into it. The whole process itself is missed. And the whole concept of where we are is because everywhere we turn, we've misplaced the relationship to God and what the importance of that walk in life is. What was one of the reasons that Christ challenged the Pharisees? It's because so much of what they were doing was to buy their way to heaven. There is no such thing. Why does Christ still to this day pose such a massive threat to the elite? The belief in Christ, why is that? Not only is he God's son, not only does God have all control and mastery over all things in this world, but the issue is that once we accept Christ in our hearts, they can't control it. And they can't control it by the way what you earn, they can't control it by where you purchase it, they can't control it by what digital ID you carry. They can't control the relationship that you have with Christ and the freedom that gives you. And nowhere in there did God say that you need to tithe to get to heaven. The principle of tithing is the concept of giving from your heart from the gifts and talents that God gave you in order to build a greater world by pushing that gifts and talents of joy and creation and in the whole process of creativity into the world for others to share and be participant in. It's a process of respecting all that God gave us in its gifts and talents and making it part of the world, not just part of us. And within that, there's the acceptance naturally that there's some sort of exchange of like kind or money exchange, but that the values are always placed forward on the tithe and the creations we make. It's a principle of priorities as well. But our world has been a world that has reduced now down to the value of all things. And it's not all things, but it's all things that they've identified that are worthy. And we've worked hard for those. We've enslaved ourselves well with those. The house mortgage, the payment of the car. And we tell ourselves, I can't get it otherwise. This is the great one, the great story ever. if I don't take a bank loan, if I don't have a mortgage, if I don't take my get a car loan, I can't have it otherwise. That's lack of trust in God. God's bounty and God's rewards have always been there. The question is, were we ever willing to trust? And were we willing to trust enough to know that he would deliver? Matthew 7, 7 to 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? And if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? The trust is always in the relationship that we have in God in this world. And putting that in balance and perspective, we get wrapped up in the world where we're consumed with the propaganda and the belief that if we don't have the right job, if we don't earn the right amount of money, we will never acquire the right number of things. We can't accomplish the goals that we have without getting in debt. And if we are working that hard between what we are wanting and things, and we have the debt that we've now acquired and we have to work hard to pay off that debt, then of course we don't have time to participate in a government which God gave us in a land that was blessed by him to be participative in the leadership that rules us and guides us. We become a world, generation after generation, that abdicates its responsibility to others that we then pay on salaries via our taxes to lead us, to rule us, and of course to do that in a benevolent way until it doesn't work and then we get upset. We are here because we put ourselves here, not because some evil force wrapped its arms around us and sucked us down. We are where we are in this day and age because we made it. We are the ones who accomplished that goal brilliantly. As a society, it is a punishment in the sense of where we face right now. This walk that we make is a walk of realization from where most of us are wandering. We're experiencing the wandering of the desert. And it's a time to reflect very deeply on how we got here and how we won't ever get here again. For those who believe that somehow this is going to pass and we're going to go back to the same old thing with just this little problem goes away, foolish naivety is what we're talking about there. This is going to require a significant shift, a shifting paradigm, a paradigm shift to accept the fact that we cannot go back, and in order to go forward, we have to literally change the way in which we do business and run our lives at every single level. No one is excluded, and no home is excluded. We have to take responsibility for the basic things in our life, for spirituality in our home. If we have children, to make sure that we're part of a group or that we are leading it ourselves in homeschooling our children and not outsourcing our kids to indoctrination camps. We have to take responsibility for what we eat, no matter whether you live in an apartment or live on a farm. You have to take responsibility for growing some of your own food, whether it's sprouts on the counter, herb gardens on the balcony, or whether it's full beds of garden in your backyard, or a full farm to produce food for the many. Food is a priority. It's what keeps this temple healthy and keeps us alive. We have to take responsibility for the work that we do, right works. Right works are those things that we have to look at and decide what God has given us as gifts and talents and trust that God will guide us. And we need to make decisions on who we work for. We have to be aware that if we're working for corporate beasts that have no intentions of our own will, but only their power, that there's going to be a cost, and we will suffer that cost if we're not careful. That's happening now. Right Works ultimately is about all of us, each of us taking responsibility and earning the income through our own businesses that God gives us, or working for those businesses with the aligned belief that this is a world blessed by God. We have to take charge of our own health. And our health is about what we eat, how we exercise, how we sleep. It's also about being knowledgeable again on some of the herbal and remedies and the pharmacopoeia that God gave us. Naturally, not dependent upon, again, a corporate machine that's promising to keep you healthy when the whole time the health is made into a business that the more sick you are and more consistently sick you are, the more money they make. Again, the inversion. We have to take responsibility for the resources that we manage within our homes. That means energy, water. That means the land that we have, the space that we have. We have to tend to each of these with the stewardship that God would give us. That doesn't mean you get to just turn your backyard into a junk pile. It doesn't mean that your whole house can look like Dave's garage sale. This is about stewarding what God gave us. It's about living frugally, living appropriately, using that that God gave us both as beauty but as productive sources for the food and things that we need. Edible landscapes, responsible use of energy, responsible use of water. It's living in harmony with what God gave us, not just being a reckless thug on the land and ignoring the gift that God gave us to steward his world, to steward this kingdom, to steward this land. And it means being informed. Informed action means that we get out here and we study and we know who's who in the leadership roles. It means taking time to be informed when you use your vote, remembering that this is God's blessed land, that all things and all people are accountable to God first, and that we've been given the responsibility to steward a government, to put it in power as the will of the people, and that that government is then held to accountability by us, the people, God's children. All of these things are critical to how we are to live, and it's going to require significant shifts. And many will say, well, those are too many things, I don't have the time. There's that other side you can go join. All you have to do is take the little pinprick and everything will be just fine. The world that we walk into is demanding. It will put a lot of weight upon us, and it is part of remaking the republic in the new republic. But if we don't reset this new republic on the foundation of truly of what in God we trust means, that if we don't reset this new republic on the grounds and framework of moral law, where certain rights are given by God and can never be taken away but by God, and that all people in the nation are accountable to God, if we do not take that position and take what responsibility goes with that, then we're going to end up right where we were. Right now, we have the bold and incredible opportunity to reshape a world. Think about that. That responsibility sits with us, and that opportunity sits before us. We can literally reshape the world. And in so doing, we can be reminded of what that new world can be. Matthew 7:24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat at that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. But then we're reminded at this point of what happens when we don't have that rock, that foundation. And it continues with Matthew 7:26. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. We are truly in this time that this decision can be made is how we are going to rebuild our house. Are we going to build the house on the rock, or are we going to build the house on the sand? We've already seen what happens when you build a house on the sand. We're living through it right now. Our house is experiencing a great fall, and we're witnessing it right before our very eyes. It's an outcome of a godless society, a society that's been allowed to run amok without the Lord and Savior and our Savior at the head of all of things. It's a result of a society that has put greater emphasis on killing unborn children than helping those in need. It's a society where the killing of unborn children goes on without resistance, except for a handful of occasional protesters. And the whole country buries its head and says, I can't control Planned Parenthood, it's a business. And that cancer has grown to infect nearly every single thing we touch. It's a society where we've decided that the trafficking of kids, the drug abuse that happens on the streets, the warlord thugs that move into your and take over neighborhoods, we can't touch them because it's the police's job, not mine. Again, the outsourcing of all the responsibility that we have. And in the meantime, that same society says, well, what can I do for me? I need to get a bigger house. Maybe I need to move out of the neighborhood to get to another place. I need to get a nicer car. And we forgot our mission. I'm an optimist in this sense. I believe that we can restore this nation. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here every day. I believe that we can reforge the foundation on which we stand. I believe that we can put In God We Trust in the very front of everything we do. I don't believe that every single person will be part of that, but I do believe that the remnant has the power, the ability, and the will to follow the call of God and to do so, to place ourselves in the places of control and influence over those primary domains in this society, to lead this nation back from the brink. But it's part of rebuilding the new republic. It's part of teaching people again what it is to be engaged and be involved in the society. And all of that begins in our homes. And it takes participative action. Prayer is an essential part of all things, no doubt. But prayer needs feet. Prayer needs wheels. You can't just pray and expect it all to be solved. We have to be involved with one another. We have to be able to look in each other's eyes, talk to each other, pray with each other, but also do things together. Praying is the bookmarked ends. It's what keeps the whole stack of books together. But we need that action in between to create the books, to write the stories anew. And that's on us to do. So again, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Let those words sink in. Matthew 10:16. We are in the world of wolves. Wolves that have consumed the many for our own weakness. Wolves that are now ravenously sitting in the positions of power. Wolves that are salivating at the new flesh and meat that sit before it. No remorse, no empathy, just hungry to devour. We ourselves are working in amongst the sheep, but now we're maneuvering. We're awakening the many. We're unseating the wolves quietly. And little by little, we will retake back this land. But this will never be an easy trip. There will not be vacations. You can find time for laughter naturally. You can find time for joy always, because walking with Christ should be an experience that is filled with joy. But the work is difficult. It's the narrow gate. And in order to be on that narrow gate, you have to commit to a new level. It isn't just one thing, it's many. And that journey and that path will not be made by the many, it will be made by the few. And it will be the few that will raise up this nation. So the question I think it's important to ask every single day when we get up and when we face ourselves is, what path do I wish to choose? What master do I wish to serve? Am I going to serve a system? Or am I going to serve our Savior? Am I going to take the easy path? Or am I going to take the narrow path, no matter how hard it takes to get there? And it's a recommitment we make every single day. It's not a guarantee of signing your name on a piece of paper that says, yep, I got salvation, nothing to worry about, check it out, I'll see you at the end of life. This is a process that requires a diligence every single day, a commitment and a conviction with God and Christ in your heart every single day. It never stops. And when we make that commitment, we literally raise an army of few, but a true remnant. And that remnant will lead. It will lead at the local level. It will lead at the state level. It'll lead at the national level. It will reset these institutions so that when we look up, we don't see a sea of Luciferian hate. We see an entire wall of God's army standing there as protectors and watchers on the wall. We will see companies fall and new ones rise. And we have to be willing to do that. We have to be willing to step away and see those sacred icons that we've become so accustomed to, those big brands that we're supposed to worship. We have to see them fall. Not just boycott them, but see them fall. They need to be the Tower of Babylon that falls to the very ground. And we need to rebuild. And we're rebuilding with that trowel in one hand and a hand on the hilt of our sword on the other. Because they will come. And so the watchers stand watch on the wall, and the builders rebuild the wall. And the healers heal the many. And the teachers teach. And the wise men oversee the direction. And the innovators help build the new future towards where we're going. But always within the framework of respect and love of the Lord. And so we bind ourselves again in a framework of moral law and respect that all things are done so that we are accountable to God in every breath and every step that we make. And when we reset a nation on those principles and that ultimate goal, as was laid out in our Declaration of Independence and as has been reinforced by the intentions of our founding fathers, our framers, when we understand the power of what moral law was intended for this nation, and we reset towards that, unalienable rights and accountability to God, then in fact we are a country with a king, but only one king, Christ Jesus. And we are a country with rulers that are blessed off because they're chosen by the people who themselves, all of us, are accountable and humbled before our king, Christ Jesus. And when we take that place, we reset this nation. We rebuild this republic in a new direction, in a new way. There will be many impassioned debates. We will be very challenged at times. But the one thing we have in common is the love of Christ in all of our hearts. And in embracing that love of Christ, we will always find the reason to come together. We will always find the means of coming together. We will always find the way to prioritize that which is appropriate and to limit that which is not. And we'll always find the motivation, the inspiration to accomplish greater and greater things. Not because we're a bunch of cool guys with a lot of degrees, but because we've trusted in the Lord in all things, and through Him all things are possible. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, and we thank you for this moment in which we live and which we are participant in. An opportunity, Lord, that seldom comes to a generation or to a people. an opportunity to choose a direction in which we go, an opportunity to walk the narrow gate and to accomplish amazing things, or to walk away on the wide gate for the ease and convenience of the lures of this material world. Lord, we realize that in this moment there is a remnant that is rising up, and those ranks are getting narrower. We pray for those that are in this remnant. We pray for those that are rising up. We pray for those that are putting themselves forward to be your perfect servants, that seek your love and seek the obedience to you relentlessly, that choose each and every day to serve you and not a system, that are willing to suffer and sacrifice for this path. And whatever you ask, to bring about a new nation, a nation built in your name, a nation where we humble ourselves before you in all things, a nation where government is accountable to us and to you, a nation where we as the people remain engaged to take responsibility for our lives and humble ourselves before you, a nation that truly understands God first and in God we trust at the core and values of all things that happen. So Lord, guide us, protect us, see this remnant rise, and see the true love of the Lord work through us, your love, Lord, and the power of Christ to heal this nation and to heal this land. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. All things are possible when we put trust in Him. And as large as this mountain may seem that we have to climb, we can climb it, and we must. But it means that, like everything, when you're climbing a mountain, there's no time to take a break and to quit. You have rest points, points to catch your breath, points where you can recoup your energy. But it's never a vacation, because even in those rest points, you have to be aware of the mountain. The mountain can bite back. Maybe it's an avalanche. Maybe it's a storm. But the commitment we have to that journey and our commitment to our relationship with God is what allows us to endure those storms and those challenges. And in the end, we will ascend. And we will plant our flag again on top of that mountain. And that flag will look different. It will fly different. Because it's not the flag of a nation, is the flag that's rooted in that flag of God Almighty. Because of all things, God comes first. That is how we have to rebuild the Republic. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into this fight. Prayers are the power of healing. Prayers are the foundation of warfare. Prayers are what gives us the connection and strength with God. And God is with us. He'll never forsake us. He'll never leave us in any way. And in the end, as we know, God will win. So have a blessed day, Patriots. Remember, no show in the next hour. I'll be back this evening for Bards FM. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
In the night we were wild, we were golden. Sparks and embers fly away.
on to what we built, absolution. East of Eden, running with the wolves to freedom. If you listen, hear the whispers, what the night knows. There's a revolution rising in the shadows. Fire and ice we hold inside, a revival.